Well, tonight we are going to continue on what we started last week. You do have some outlines on your table if you'd like to use that. And it probably would be helpful because the scriptures are all printed out on your outline. Of course, you really can use your Bible, and that'll work really well too. So they might be helpful to you to pull those out. Last week we started talking about the fruit of gentleness. And we found out quite a bit of stuff last week. If you missed last week, you might want to get it because it really taught us and in some cases corrected us. And it's a good thing when the word corrects us. But we found out some things that I want to tell you so you'll be all caught up with us in case you missed last week. I want to remind you that we found out that the words gentleness and meekness have basically the same meaning, and they're often used interchangeably in the Bible. So when you look at the fruit of the Spirit, depending on in your Bible, in Galatians 5, some of your versions may say gentleness, and some of your versions may say meekness. And they're just used interchangeably there. And we also discovered that gentleness does not mean weak at all. And we really talked about that last week and kind of dug into that. The fact is that gentleness is really all about strength. I have to tell you, well, I don't have to tell you, but I'm going to tell you. You know, I was kind of toying with the idea of what to name this series, and I never did come up with one that I really liked. But I was walking down this hallway, and I was toying with the words, and I was thinking about it, and I was like, okay, you know, strongly gentle. You know, I'm thinking strength, gentleness, and then I'm like, okay, strong but gentle, and I just giggled out loud because I thought that sounds like a toilet paper commercial. I know, I'm sorry. That's how my mind goes sometimes. What can I say? So I'm getting to be like Mary Jo. I just tell everything I think, so hopefully not. Anyway, that was just a little side trip. But you know, we really did find out that gentleness was about strength, and it's about, though, even though it's about strength, it's about keeping your strength under control. And the reason we want to control that strength is because we want it to be useful and we want it to be helpful. We don't want it to be damaging. And that's why we need to learn how to bring that strength under control, and that's what gentleness is all about. We also talked about how that in the Bible only two people were called meek or gentle, and that was Moses and Jesus. And I don't think either one of them you could call weaklings. And they're the only ones in the Bible that literally was said that they were meek. And so that's an interesting example for us. A meek or a gentle person, we talked about this last week, and it still is resonating within me. And I want to make sure we touch this thought, that to be meek or gentle, or a meek or gentle person, is able to control his mind, his will, and his emotions. Let me tell you something, a weak person can't do that. It takes all kinds of strength to control your mind and your will and your emotions. And gentleness comes into play here. As we learn how to operate more and more into gentleness, it brings those things under control, not by your willpower, but you submit them to the will of the Lord. And as you do that, it brings those things under control. And we talked about that a lot last week. All I can say is you might get that recording or go to the website and check that out. I also want to remind you, last week we did get a brand new card for your key ring. If by any chance you don't have a key ring, you've lost a key ring, you've given your key ring away, or you're missing some of the tags, please, please, please get whatever you need out of this box tonight. As I said last week, you are going to need this complete key ring before this year is over. So you need to have one, all right? So that's enough said there. All right. Now here's what we started with last week. We started with a three-part definition of gentleness, and it's on your outline to remind you. The first part of our definition of gentleness is what we talked about last week. Gentleness is self-controlled. Everybody say, ouch. There's more. It's gentleness is also slow to give or to take offense. Double ouch. And we talked about this last week, and that's why I'm saying you really should listen to that word, because it was good for us. So we covered that first part of the definition. So tonight what we're going to do is we're going to cover the last two parts of that definition and finish up on gentleness tonight. And, you know, on that first part last week, here's the deal. If you tend to be someone who responds in anger, or you overreact to situations, chances are you need to work on increasing your gentleness. And if you are a person who it seems like you offend people everywhere you go, or you may be the person who gets offended constantly, time after time after time, then again, you probably need to learn how to increase your gentleness, because that was the part one that we talked about last week, okay? So that's all we're going to say about that little review. And so right now we're going to go to the second part of our definition of gentleness, and that is a gentle person is humble in spirit and lowly in mind. You know, those kind of words, those kind of words really make us continue to think about weakness instead of strength. But we're going to dig into that. What does that really mean? To be humble in spirit and to be lowly in mind. And I think the best way to kind of figure out what does that mean is to kind of look at what if it was opposite. If you were ungentle, then that would mean that you would have a prideful spirit. If you were ungentle, it would mean that you would be exalted in your mind. That might help you to realize what we're talking about here. When we're talking about a humble spirit and lowly in mind, we're talking about not being prideful. We're talking about not thinking more highly of ourselves than we should. We're talking about preferring other people ahead of ourselves. That is what we're talking about when we talk about humble in spirit and lowly in mind. And W.E. Vines gives this definition of meekness, and that is the opposite to self-assertiveness and self-interest. Meekness is the opposite of that. Meekness is not occupied with self at all. If you got your outline there, I'd circle, underline, exclamation mark, at all. Meekness is not occupied with self at all. Everybody say, at all. Yeah. Jesus said about himself, he described himself this way in Matthew 11, 28 and 29. He said, I am meek and lowly in heart. And our whole desire this year is to increase and become more like him. And that it was his description of himself. And as we develop this attitude of meekness or gentleness, then the welfare of other people are going to become more important to you than your own. When the more you get to where you care and you're more concerned about other people's welfare than you are your own, you'll know you're increasing in gentleness. It's a great measuring stick right there. You know, Moses and Jesus demonstrated a willingness to sacrifice for others. You go back and read the story of Moses and all that he went through in dealing with the people he was leading, and how many times he was willing to actually sacrifice his own needs, his own desires, his own comfort for them. And of course, Jesus is easy to understand for us, how he was so willing to sacrifice for me and for you and for everyone. So they being called meek in the Bible give us great illustrations of what a gentle person behaves like. And that fruit of gentleness, it's going to create in us an unselfish attitude in our hearts. The more we pursue after gentleness, the more we learn to operate in gentleness, the more we are going to be unselfish at our very core. It will have that effect on us. Philippians 2:4, and this is in the Living Bible, but it says, don't just think about your own affairs, but be interested in others too, and in what they are doing. It doesn't say you can't be interested in your affairs. Certainly you have to take care of things, but it says don't forget to be interested in other people and in what's going on in their life and what their needs are. That's good counsel as we learn how to operate in gentleness. So we're talking here to begin with that gentleness means that we're humble in spirit and lowly in mind. Okay, what does that mean now to your everyday life? What does that look like? How do you know if you're doing it? What's it look like? Well, I've got some practical examples to talk about to kind of help us understand what we're talking about here and what it might look like. And one of the ways that we're going to present about gentleness and about being humble in spirit and about being lowly in mind is when someone is serving you, no matter where it's at, do you tend to be understanding of them or do you tend to be demanding of them? Our everyday life, we're talking about how to be gentle. You know, we're talking about restaurant workers, clerks, secretaries, bank tellers, employees, anybody who services you in some way. There's so many people. You know, do you find yourself just kind of absently taking them for granted and just being impersonable and sometimes even rude because they just don't seem personal to you and you just kind of are indifferent to them? You know, do you think in your everyday life, can you have a tendency to be like that? I think probably all of us have been like that, but some of us may be more tending to be like that. So pay attention if that's you, if you realize that you may tend to do that. Because one way to learn how to develop gentleness, see, we just don't want to learn what gentleness is. We want to learn how to do gentleness, okay? And one way to develop gentleness is to work at understanding the people who serve you. This might be a good thing for you to take on this week. Anywhere you are this week where someone waits on you or serves you or gives you a service, that just might be a good homework assignment right there, is to stop and realize, you know, that they are people and to try to take some thought of them and to try to understand their position. You know, it's amazing how much more helpful services will be to you if you just consider their feelings a little bit and, recognize that they may be under some pressure too. Anybody who's worked in the service industry has an understanding of that. But sometimes we even forget that when we're on the other end. So we need to be taking care of that this week and looking at that. You know, take a little effort to look beyond your own needs. That's what we're talking about. And see your server as a person and as someone who may have needs of their own. It'll change your whole perspective and it'll bring you to a place of operating in gentleness. Another very practical way that might be another good homework assignment for us this week is how do you treat the people at home? Might as well move your toes because they are going to get stepped on a little bit tonight. Mine too. You know, ladies, the Bible does say in 1 Peter 3:4 that wives are to adorn themselves with a gentle, everybody say gentle, and quiet spirit. We're talking about gentleness, okay? Gentleness. Wives, adorn yourself. You know, it talks about how that gentleness is more valuable than the best clothes you can put on or the most expensive perfume you can put on. Gentleness is attractive. The Bible says so. Now, we're not going to leave the husbands out because y'all get to be a little bit gentle here too. Because the Bible says about husbands, you husbands should try to understand your wives you live with. Maybe I need to have you report back on these assignments and see if you did them. Two assignments you can do this week. Pay attention. Are you behaving with a humble spirit and lowly in mind to people who serve you and to people in your home? Because increasing in the fruit of gentleness is going to help you deal more patiently and more kindly with people. It will come from that fruit of gentleness. Okay, let's take another practical example. How do we respond when someone disappoints us? When someone disappoints us, do we get, are we gracious with them or do we get judgmental? And remember, guys, we're talking about a humble spirit and lowly in mind, okay? Galatians 6:1 says, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him how? Gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. You know, a lot of times I think people think, and it could have that aspect, that watch yourself because they may pull you into that sin they got into. You might be tempted to enter into it. But let me give you another thought here. What if Paul was also maybe implying to us, you know what? Beware of the temptation to be judgmental of that person who's in sin, of acting like you are holier than them because you are not the sinner, they are. Beware of that temptation. That could be another way to look at that, because that is a wrong response for Christians to have towards their brothers and sisters in Christ who are struggling with a sin. Gracious is the response. Judgment is not the response that we should be giving. Okay? Romans 14:1 says, accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment or dispute. You know, seriously, and you know, we can all admit to some of this somewhere in our past, I know. But what's our reaction to people when they have really messed up their lives? You know, do we secretly think, oh, I knew you'd do that, or it serves you right? We need to watch out that we don't have that inward sense of superiority, thinking that we are better and that we could not be there just the way they are if we are not careful. So we need to be careful of those things. You know, I'm thinking about how Jesus reacted to the woman who was caught in adultery. If there was ever a scene that screamed gentleness, it was that scene. You know, he defended her in front of all those other people. And then after the crowd left, he dealt with her privately about her sin. He was gracious to her, not judgmental. You talk about strength under control. This is the Son of God that this woman caught in adultery was brought before. He could have just wiped her out instantly because he could have just said, I'm taking your book, your name out of the book. He could have just said to her, you know what, you're condemned to hell. He had strength. He could do anything he wanted to with that sin, but instead he operated in gentleness. He operated with his strength under control, and he repaired the situation. You see, that strength under control will cause you to be helpful and useful, not damaging. We're talking about gentleness. We're told in Romans 15:7, accept one another just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. And that's always a very good rule of thumb, that whenever we feel tempted to judge another person, it'll be a good thing to pause a few seconds and just remember how much God has forgiven you of. The more we recognize God's grace to us, the more we will walk gently with others and give grace to them. All right? We're talking about how to walk out gentleness in your everyday life. So how does a humble spirit and a person who is lowly in mind respond to unbelievers? Let's look at that for a few minutes. You know, the most effective way to share the gospel of Jesus Christ is to surround that unbeliever with love and with acceptance. And as you do that, take the opportunities as they come to share Jesus with them. Unbelievers will respond much better to gentleness than they will to condemnation. You know, when we share our faith with people, we need to remember that we need to respect them. sometimes Christians do get a little attitude, thinking that we are better than, but we forget that we used to be them. But by God's grace, have we been brought into the kingdom of God. And we need to temper our thinking with gentleness in those situations. We need to respect them when we're around them, not reject them. Acting like we're superior to them because of we have Jesus, it's just going to drive them away. We're not going to help the kingdom whatsoever. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." We're supposed to be able to tell people about our experience with Jesus. But look at the rest of that verse. How are we supposed to do that? But do this with what? Gentleness and? Say it again. Gentleness and respect. That is telling us how to deal with unbelievers. With gentleness and with respect. You know, respecting unbelievers, well, a lot of times, I think you realize this, but how we present the gospel, our attitude when we present the gospel is going to determine how willing they are to listen to us. It makes a difference on our attitude as we share with them. And respecting unbelievers, I want you to understand, because some of you are already racing here to this thought, but respecting unbelievers do not mean, it does mean accepting them. When you respect them, you accept them. Now, I want to clarify that, though. That doesn't mean that you approve of their lifestyle or the sin they may be into. See, there's a difference. There's a difference between acceptance and approval. Okay? There's a difference. I can accept you as a person that's a person of worth without approving of everything you do. All right? But I am still required to respect you as a human being. Okay? We need to, as Christians, we need to remember to watch our attitude, because sometimes we do get a little snobby about things. And we need to remember the truth of the matter, all right? And how to operate in gentleness, because when we deal and talk and get to know unbelievers, we need the fruit of gentleness in operation. It will make all the difference in the world to whether they may come to Jesus or whether they'll go the other way. So it's very important. All right, so that's pretty much what we're covering on that second part of the definition of having a humble spirit and lowly in mind. I think that gives you some ideas of what it looks like in your everyday life, and I'm sure you could come up with other ideas. But that'll give you some things to think about. Well, let's move on to that third part of our definition of gentleness. And that is simply that a gentle person will be teachable. Well, when someone corrects you, are you willing to be teachable? Ouch. James 1:19 says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." Everybody say, quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Now, I hope you can understand, but I want to show you. I want to just show the truth of this scripture and the wisdom of this scripture. That if you are quick to listen, you hear what they're saying, you take it in. If you're quick to listen, but then you're slow to answer back, then guess what? The natural outcome is, you're going to be slow to get mad. Why do we get mad? Because they start coming at us with a correction. We get offended and defensive instantly, and we come back with a quick answer like, well, I don't know about that, you know, or well, I saw you do, you know, business. And then what happens? That's where we get into anger, right? So wisdom in this scripture about being teachable. In fact, Proverbs 13:18 says this, Whoever heeds correction is honored. You know what that means? That means you actually listen to the correction and you take it into advisement, and if you need to act on it, you do. If you have that sort of an attitude, then you are to be honored. Whoever heeds correction is honored. If we want to be people who are known for gentleness, if we want to be that gentle person that Jesus was and that he desires for us to walk in, then here's the deal. Use your ears more than your mouth. You think you need to say that? Use your ears more than your mouth. And be willing to accept correction. You know, probably some of the wisest people that you'll ever meet are the ones who have a teach me attitude. Have you ever worked with someone who knew everything and you were trying to teach them? Sometimes that just doesn't work out very well at all. But a wise person will have that teach me attitude. No matter how old you are, no matter how much experience you have, no matter what you think you know, if we use our ears more than our mouth, we may learn something. All right, am I meddling really good tonight? Am I doing good? Okay, now, this isn't just words that you get to walk out of here and say, okay, that was good. These are words that we're going to work on, okay? We're going to do it. Here's a question for you. Who are you willing to learn from? Husbands, can you learn from your wives? When your wife makes a suggestion, do you get defensive? All right, wives. Can you learn from your husbands? Or does it threaten you for your husband to try to teach you or correct you? How about this one? Can you learn from your children? We can learn a lot of things from kids if we just pay attention, huh? Yeah. You know what? I just love it, don't you, that we're all sitting here and saying, uh-huh. Come on, guys, get real. Uh-huh, sometimes. Sometimes. Right? You know, gentleness, there's another aspect here. Gentleness is also about willing to admit when you are wrong. Those of you who are married, how long has it been since you've admitted to your spouse that you were wrong? You actually have spoken the words, honey, I was wrong and it was my fault. That reminds me of David and Becky Crothy, when they would come and teach on marriage, and that was one thing they would have couples do, is actually look at each other and say, honey, I was wrong. Always makes me think of Fonzie. You remember Fonzie and how he couldn't say that word? I couldn't say it. Gentleness has to do with being willing to actually say it if it's true. To be willing to do that. Well, we're talking about gentleness means you're teachable, so we're also to be teachable concerning God's word. James 1:21 says, humbly, that gives us a clue right there that has to do with gentleness and meekness, humbly, accept the word planted in you. Right here tonight, you guys are having word planted in you. So am I. So the word says right here, humbly, accept the word that is being planted in you. That means we ought to approach God's word with a gentle or a humble attitude that says to God, I am willing to be taught. How many of you are willing to be taught of the Lord? You know, I've been, and I'm sure I've been guilty from time to time. I haven't done this in a long time because I really got reprimanded on this by the Lord. But to go into a service, wherever it may be or whatever it may be, and you find out they're teaching on a subject and you're like, well, I know all that. I've heard that before. Or you hear a speaker and he's doing the same sermon that you heard him do 2 months ago. Well, I heard that. Shame on us. The Word of God is living. And I don't care how many times you've heard it, you can get something new out of it if you'll allow yourself to be teachable. Never close your ears or your heart to the Word of God. You will be missing something that the Holy Spirit has appointed for you to hear that time, and you will have walked out without it. I'm just encouraging you, never ever take on that attitude. You can't afford to do that. You can't afford to do that. You will always receive fresh understanding from the Word if you'll just remain teachable to the Holy Spirit. Never think you know it all. My answer to that, when somebody says, well, I know all about that, I'm saying, well, are you doing it? And if you're not doing it 100% of the time, then apparently you don't know it well enough. Need a refresher. Okay, that's what the Holy Spirit tells me. I've had that attitude in the past, and he told me that. He said, are you doing it? No, sir, I'm not. Then I think you need to hear it again. Yes, sir, I do. So never think that you know it all. Always remain open to learn from God's Word. You know, Moses, talking about Moses and Jesus as being meek, Moses received one of the best educations that the world could possibly give at that time because he was raised in the palace of the Pharaoh. But when Moses fled into that wilderness and he was there for years, guess what? He found out he still had some things to learn. You know, I think back there when he was still in Egypt and when he came across that Egyptian and he murdered him, I think he probably had an attitude that he knew it all. He had the answers. He could take care of this. He could change this. After all, he's the son of the Pharaoh. He thought he knew it all. But he got out of that wilderness for years, let the Lord speak to him, and he learned some things that he'd never learned in the palace. And he realized that it was true. He found out that he needed God's plan, and he found out he needed God's ability, and he needed God's resources. And here's the deal. Your talents and your education and your training, that's all well and good. There's nothing wrong with that. That's great. It's a good thing. But what we have to watch out for is becoming dependent on that and forgetting to be dependent on the Lord. You know, the opposite of meekness and gentleness has everything to do with pride. We need to possess gentleness to remain teachable and open and receive the full truth of the Word. The Holy Spirit will guide us as believers, and He will guide us as long as we truly remain teachable, flexible under His hand, and allow the Holy Spirit to teach us as we go. You know, think about this too, about gentleness. People who aren't gentle, you can almost pinpoint the ones who have no concept of gentleness. You know, people who are without gentleness, they're people who are going to instantly demand the right. They're going to judge others. They're going to always have to prove their point. They're not willing to learn from anybody else because they know it. They'll react to situations quickly and probably hotly, and they seldom will treat others with respect or dignity. Why? Because gentleness is not operating in their lives. It is gentleness that tempers those things and brings them under the control and the submission of the Lord. But can't you see, guys, some of you, when I said those things, you may say, that was me. That was me before I knew Jesus. That was exactly me. Or some of you may be saying, you know what, that was me today. But can you see by just what we're learning here in this teaching, can you see how important the fruit of gentleness is for a healthy and a happy life? That fruit of gentleness is going to bring peace to your life. That fruit of gentleness has benefit to you, great benefit to you as you increase in gentleness. It is going to let you experience a relaxed lifestyle. Wouldn't it be nice if everything that comes at you just doesn't send you off into a tizzy? Wouldn't it be something to just chill all the time? You know, I just came back from 2 weeks in Branson. We were chilling. It was nice. It was relaxing. Gentleness will do that for you. As we learn how to increase in gentleness, it will promote your lifestyle of relaxation. Why? Because you don't have to prove anything. You don't have to prove anything as you are walking with the Lord. And, you know, since gentleness is a fruit and it's not a gift, it has to be developed. Like all of the fruits we've been studying, it takes you to do some work. And it takes me to do some work. That's why you can't just take these words, but now you got to work the words in your life. And, you know, believers who are gentle are that way because they have paid the price to be. They have paid the price to develop that fruit. It takes work, and it does take commitment on your part to develop gentleness in any other fruit. You know, Moses and Jesus understood exactly what we're talking about here, about paying the price. Moses was raised in the palace, the son of the reigning Pharaoh. He had all privileges. He had everything. Yet it came to a point where he actually laid all that away and he gave it up. And he came to the place where he was willing to sacrifice all of that. Why? So that he could be God's instrument for the Israelite people. He sacrificed for them. He paid the price to walk in gentleness. Jesus did the same thing. The Son of God Almighty in heaven, on the throne. All power, all strength, all ability, everything. And yet, he took that moment where he said, I'm going to lay it all down. I'm going to go down to the earth. I'm going to sacrifice all this, Lord, for those people. It cost to develop gentleness. It cost because you have to put in the time. You have to put in the effort. You have to put in that desire. You have to do the work to develop that. You know, one of the characteristics of gentleness that I want to touch on before we're done, a characteristic of gentleness is unconditional surrender. Those words are kind of scary to us sometimes because that kind of means giving up control. And none of us really like to do that very easily. Total and complete surrender, unconditional surrender. What does that mean? That means yielding to the Lord. Just saying, here I am, Lord, whatever you want, whatever you say, wherever you lead me, whatever your instructions, I'm yielded to you. And, you know, I think a lot of people have questions. How do I do that? What do I have to do? Did you ever wonder, what do I have to do to be completely surrendered? What do I do to get there? Well, here's the deal. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. That's surrender. You do nothing. Because yielding isn't something you do. Yielding is an attitude of the heart. It's that preferring other people. It's that being a slave to the master. It's an attitude of the heart. Yielding is the absence of resistance. How many times do we resist the Lord? Yeah, Lord, I know you told me to go talk to her, but I don't want to. Or, yeah, Lord, I know you told me to do this, but I'm really busy. Resist. Yielding is the absence of resistance. All right? Yielding is the absence of self-will. That means the absence of doing what you want to do because you want to do it. Yielding is doing nothing. It really is. It's an attitude of the heart. And all this, as we began this study, and we've talked about, gentleness is truly about strength under control. It's not a weak thing. It's a very powerful thing. And it's a very necessary thing. A gentle person, as we said at the beginning, is able to control their mind, their will, their emotions, and submit them to the Lord. They can't do it in themselves. It's a spiritual thing. It's that fruit of gentleness which comes into play there, which we need to develop in order to see this happen more and more in our life. And, you know, you may be left with a question, okay, exactly how do I get gentleness? How do I get it? And I know this sounds kind of cliche, and I said it last week, but I'm telling you, if you want to increase in gentleness, two things are required. Number one, you have to know who you are in Christ Jesus. Because if you know who you are, you don't have to prove yourself anywhere. And you can walk in gentleness. You don't have to get even. You don't have to prove your point. You don't have to be right. Because you know who you are. You're a child of the Most High God. You have all of His benefits, His promises, His blessings upon you. So you have to understand that, who you are in Christ Jesus. And then the other thing you have to know is you have to know who God is. You have to be convinced of who He is. Is the word true about God? Do you believe that this is who God is? And not only that, but do you believe that He's going to keep His promises and His word? You see, if we have that kind of confidence, it's just like Jesus we talked last week before Pilate, where He didn't have to say a word. He didn't have a need to repeat anything back or to, get even or to set the record straight or to make any kind of rebuttal. He kept His mouth shut. And the reason He did was He knew who He was. It didn't matter what Pilate said about Him. He knew who He was. Pilate might not have known, but Jesus knew who He was. He didn't have to defend Himself. And He also knew who His Father was. And He knew that His Father would keep His word. And His Father had already told Him what the plan was. Yes, Son, you're going to go to that cross. And yes, Son, you are going to die. And yes, Son, you are going to be buried. But yes, Son, you're going to be alive again. He believed. So He didn't have to defend it. He didn't have to say anything. It's the same way with us. If we have that sort of confidence, then we also can walk in that gentleness because we don't have a need to defend ourselves or to have that kind of attitude towards people. But the only way that that confidence comes is by us getting to know our Father God better. Remember, this whole year is about increasing our relationship with Him. The more I read His Word, the more I pray, the more I talk to Him, and more importantly, the more I let Him talk to me, then I become more and more convinced that, yes, this is truth. And yes, I can trust it. See, it's that increasing your relationship with the Lord that is going to help you produce the fruit of gentleness, but also all the other fruits, because it will just be so real to you, and you'll have so much confidence in that. So, gentleness, indeed, is a very important fruit. It's very important. And there are some great truths that we can take out of that teaching and go forward and start putting into our lives. So remember, this week you have two assignments. Be gentle to anybody who serves you. Consider them as a person. Realize they have their own needs, their own situations. Be gentle to those in your home. Don't take them for granted. Remember, they're a person too. Remember, they may have had a difficult day. They may have a situation. Be gentle. Humble in spirit, lowly in mind, gentle as our Lord Jesus Christ.
This has been a production of Cornerstone Church in Grove, Oklahoma. For more information about Cornerstone, you can call 918-786-6164 or send an email to info@cornerstonechurchofgrove.com. Thanks for listening.